Welcome to Out There with TJ Ryan. It's strange. It's unusual. It's mysterious. It's out there, out there, out there, out there. And now your host, TJ Ryan.
Welcome to a haunted version of Out There. Well, since it's almost Halloween and I don't talk about ghosts too much, I thought maybe I'd do that this week. And I don't know how much space I have on my site. Normally, towards the end of the month, sometimes I'm running out of space. And I checked it, and I think I got enough for a show. I had another show lined up, and you know, I also looked at my site, and I thought, boy, I sure do talk about things that maybe some people just don't have an interest in, and I try to vary it up as much as I can. I don't do a lot of ghost shows because I believe in ghosts. I believe in spirits. To me, it's kind of a no-brainer. I've had enough experience with it, but I guess some of you might be just on the edge of learning about these things or still open to them, not sure what they are. And if you don't believe at all, that's fine. I don't care what you believe. That's up to you. You go whatever path works best for you. And I mean that. But I guess my own experiences, seeing an apparition, having a lantern turn on, seeing my parents after they passed away, come visit me. You know, these are just things that I believed my whole life, really. But, you know, more solid once those things happen to you. So I rarely do a show. But I thought with Halloween coming up, I'll postpone the interview I had with Roslyn and we'll move that to next week. So this week, we talk about strange ghost stories. Are you scared? You better be. Bah. So I think a lot of people want to hype up these things. And a lot of times my experience is when they happen, they're kind of short and sweet. And, you know, when I saw that apparition back in the 90s, leaning over my wife while she was sleeping, it was almost unbelievable. And it was so quick. It happened so quick. Well, I didn't believe it was real, actually, to tell you the truth. I dismissed it for years until I started to realize, wait a second, that really was something. You know, I thought somehow it was the lights of a car going by on the street that shone in through the bedroom that caused this. And it's like, come on, when you think about it, how does it form a perfect body? Bent over, looking at my wife. I mean, you just got to take a leap of faith somewhere along the way. That, to me, was a pretty obvious sign. When I had a lantern when we're camping, turn on, right after we turned it off, physically click and turn on. There's no leap of faith needed in that. So those are the kind of things that you can put your hand on and go, this is real. At least I can. And then there's other things that maybe you go, But I'm going to share some stories to me that are pretty interesting. And stories I just heard recently. And I always like the newer ones. I mean, if you go on my site, you'll probably be able to track down my buddy Dan Dunlap has an amazing ghost story to tell about a house that was haunted in Perkins. It really is quite the story. And, you know, you can always choose to believe if he's telling the truth or not. And there's a few others. We talk about the building being haunted and stuff like that. But there's different ghost stories. I don't do too much of it on my site. I do some of it. I guess because my interest has kind of moved on. I'm still interested. If you have a story you want to share, I'd love to hear it. You can either write it as a comment at the end of this show, or you could try to contact me, and we'll do an interview if you want. If you don't feel comfortable with that, then just if you want to share it in any way, I'd love to pass it on, because I think that's how we all learn and accept. You know, eventually it becomes something that you're open to, then you start to accept it, and then you start to know. And when you start to know it's real, I think that's when you've reached the level where you're ready to move on. But I think a lot of people aren't on that level. They still are not sure. They want to believe. They want to have evidence so they can believe. And they're really intrigued by it, but they never seem to quite get the evidence they want. Or maybe they'll watch Ghost Hunters, and they'll see a chair move by itself. And so, oh, look at that. And I have friends here at work that get so excited about that. And I think, I don't need to see that. I already know that they can do those kind of things in my mind. And I could be wrong, but that's the way I see it. So here's a story I just heard last night. I was working, well, I do my radio job during the day, and then last night I was hosting an event at the casino, which is not far from here, about 13 miles west of here. And I'm talking to one of the people that work there, and they're telling me a story about when they were younger, and this has to go back to the 60s or maybe the 70s. This woman that I talked to last night had a brother that was in Vietnam. And I'm trying to remember exactly what she said, but as I recall, I think it was the mother. The mother had a dream about the son. And the son, in the dream, said he was there at the doorstep. And she said, "When are you coming home?" She thought he was on leave in the dream because he was serving in Vietnam. And he told her, "I'll be home in 11 days. I'll be home in 11 days. And I guess it was shortly after that, within the next day or so, as I recall this story, which I just heard last night. You think I would know the details exactly. The mother got somebody showed up from the military at the front door and told her that her son had died in Vietnam. And what was ironic about this is that it took 11 days. It took 11 days for his body to get back to the States and back to his family. Now, that's just, to me, is very touching and very sad. But also, in a way, there's hope there. To me, it also lifts me a little bit because his spirit, even though his body was gone, his spirit had come back to tell her and maybe was there to comfort her, too. Now, according to this woman, her mom at the time, who was fairly young still, had jet black hair, and within a short period of time, her hair went white. That's probably what the stress it caused on her. But she said, this woman, as she was telling me this story, she said, "I've always believed in spirits and ghosts because of things like this and other experiences that she's had. And you can't always put your finger on it. Sometimes it's a dream. Sometimes it's a noise. And it could be anything. I'm not saying those things definitely are something, but sometimes maybe you need to take a leap of faith. And there are very obvious things that happen. And the more you start to believe this, not just believe it, but know it, my experience has been the more you will start to experience things. You will start to see these kind of things. And we all, and I think all of us are doubters. All of us go, well, that never happened to me. I can't do that. Well, there you go. It's not going to until you start changing the way you think. And the reason I believe this is that we create everything around us with our thoughts, our attitudes. That's why they're so important. And they're also, that's why I like being positive and upbeat, because that brings those things forward. And I also like the feeling that goes with it, as opposed to being the other way, which once in a while I certainly am. So I guess I conclude from that story that this woman had no reason to tell me that. She just wanted to share it. And it was a very serious moment for her. And again, when people tell you those things, I look at where, why, how, what are they gaining out of this? Nothing. We're just sharing. I shared some stories. She shared some of hers. I found it to be a give and take, and I also felt she was being honest. And that's just my feeling on it. Now, there's another story I just heard the other day as well. This is probably last week, less than a week ago. I took Friday off last week at work, and the guy that was going to fill in for me, he's a coworker. I've known him for years. He moved away, and he came back. He moved away to West Virginia, and he lives in it's a commercial building, probably within 7 blocks or so from here, so it's real close, 7 or 8 blocks. And there's another guy, a friend of his, who was kind of having some troubles, and he's letting him stay there. So they have this huge building, which used to be a business, or maybe more than one business. And this friend of his has been experiencing some really strange things. They both have heard these pounding upstairs going on and lots of noise. And I said, well, is there pipes or anything upstairs? He said, there's nothing. There's nothing upstairs. It's not even, it's just, there's nothing that could be causing that. Okay, well, there's always possibly something, right? Then I guess this friend of his, has had an experience the other night where something, he felt something was holding him down, and it was actually holding his legs down, and he was trying to get out of it, and it took a while before he was able to do that. And my coworker, my buddy, says, I looked at his legs. I looked at this guy's legs, and there were looked like fingerprints where he was being held down. Imagine how creepy that would be to wake up to that. So apparently, if it's true, they got a spirit in this building who probably doesn't like them being there and has been messing with them a bit. I guess even the cat is very afraid of this, whatever this is, and they've gone room to room with the cat with them, checking to see if there was anything in these rooms. So to me, it's a little humorous, but also a concern. And I had my friend Dan, I guess he's going to take a look at it in his visual abilities. My buddy Dan Dunlap, who has the ability, I believe, to deal with spirits if they're not being very nice, you know, and you don't want them around. He can go into that spirit world, and I believe he's going to probably take a look at that and let them know. And hopefully I'll have results for them soon. And he can chase it away if that's what they want. You know, I think he always approaches it with respect, as do I. And you go from there. A third story that I want to tell in this haunted edition of Out There. You know, these are all stories that have happened here. And wherever you're listening, I'm sure if you talk to people about this, you're going to find a lot of people have stories. They do. And some of it just might be a story. But other ones might be really strange things that occurred that make you realize something is going on that's not normal. This story takes place probably at least 15 years ago. There was a place called Pat's Corner Bar. It was located in a town called Rock, Michigan. That's probably about 30 miles from where I'm at here, north of here, in between Escanaba and Marquette. Marquette's on Lake Superior, Escanaba's on Lake Michigan. If you take Highway M35, it's about halfway up there. And years ago, and I still have a DJ business, but years ago I used to do a lot of the dances. And then we did bar dances and weddings, mostly weddings, but now I have people that do it for me. But this particular night, as I recall, I was just out there training in one of my DJs, making sure the night was going to go well. So I wasn't really trying to do the dance. We just kind of went up there, my girlfriend and I, Sandy, and she's my wife now, but back then my girlfriend, and we went up there just to make sure everything went smooth, to kind of hang out with the bar owners a little bit and BS with them and have a good time. So my DJ is doing the dance. It's the end of the night. He's packing up. We're hanging around. We're talking to them. And we got on the subject of ghosts. And I got to believe in bars. There might be a fair amount of spirits hanging around. I really believe that's possible. Because, well, I think there's probably many reasons, but something seems to draw people to that. Maybe that's an area where they can connect with, or if they owned the business at one time. In this case, we don't really know what this was, but I remember Pat and Mike sitting down with us, and I told them some ghost stories, and then they started sharing stuff with me. They told me about that they felt they had a spirit that was present in the bar, and you didn't want to upset this spirit, because if you did, the spirit would do things that weren't very nice. And so they told me more than once they used to put these decorations out on the tables. Sometimes it was just like these little flyers, these little, you know, things that you bend into like a triangle that might talk about Budweiser or whatever drink special they had. And, you know, and the distributors provided these little brochure-type things that you place on a table. And so they would place these on a table. They'd turn around. They'd all be on the floor, all of them, off all the tables, knocked off. And they got to believe that something was doing this. And they would tell it, would you stop doing that? And then the bar patrons would come in, and they'd be joking around. Oh, the spirit's upset with us, blah, 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 ha, ha, ha. And Pat and Mike would say, don't do that, because you're going to upset the spirit, and we don't need that. And a lot of times, I guess, after when these some of the fellas that came in there that were regulars would make fun of it, some things would happen. Well, Mike was telling me one time he got into an argument with Pat, and Mike always felt that Pat owned the bar. Mike was her boyfriend. And the spirit kind of watched out and liked Pat, according to Mike. He's down in the basement after this argument, and he's getting some cases of beer, and it's pretty dark. And he felt something go by him, and it went, and it twicked his ear really hard. And could you imagine? And you wonder, what the heck's that? And he really felt it was because he had this argument. And this, whatever, the spirit probably wasn't happy with him. And it thwopped his ear, which I'm sure you've done to somebody or somebody's done to you. And it's like, ow, what the heck? What was that for? What was that? So, okay, just those are two incidents. But there's another one that really, it really baffles me if it's true. Now, I didn't talk to the person who Mike and Pat claim this happened to, but it really is an interesting part of this story. They were telling me that a niece was staying with him. And, of course, the residence for the bar owner is up above. I don't know how many bedrooms or whatever, but that's where a lot of people would live. They live above their bar, still to this day, in a lot of towns, especially small towns. And this town of Rock, it's kind of a blink of an eye. You got a flashing light, nice little town, a couple little bars, and, well, Pat's is not even open anymore. And then there's like a lumber place and whatever else they have up there. Not much. A church, maybe. So there's, and maybe they have an American Legion up there as well, or VFW. But, you know, at one point in time, these communities were probably bigger. And they've continued to get, especially up here, more and more sparse. As the jobs have disappeared, people have moved away. So now they're kind of becoming ghost towns. Ghost towns. So this gal, this niece, is staying over with Pat and Mike, and she's upstairs, and Pat and Mike are downstairs. They're at the bar working, and she says she's going to come down at 9 o'clock. Well, it's 9:30, and she's not there yet, and they're wondering, what's taking her so long? I just talked to her. And so I guess you come from the downstairs, and you go outside, and then you enter back into the bar if you're in the residence up above. There's no door connecting them. So finally she arrives around 9:30, and her story is that she comes out of the upstairs, and as she's trying to go downstairs, something grabs her. I'm not trying to scare anybody, because you shouldn't be afraid of these things, even if you have some interaction like this, and it pulls her to sit down. It pulls her down, and she can't move. And as she continues to try to move, she can only roll down a couple of stairs at a time. And then she's being held down again. And eventually she breaks loose of that and rolls down some more stairs. And eventually it took her a half hour to get all the way down those stairs. Now, I don't know how many stairs there are, but you can imagine it's a pretty high flight of stairs if it goes up above the bar. It's just really crazy. And I mean, I've heard this kind of interaction before. And I've also heard and read how people have had much worse interaction with darker spirits, if you will. Most people, most of us are going to have interaction with ones that maybe are just there and they'll let us know. Or it could be loved ones. Or it could be guardian angels or guardians that we have around us. Or it could be just ones that don't even know they're dead. Or residual energy. I mean, there's all those things. Most of us, I don't believe, are going to run into something really negative. And if we do, I believe there is a way for all of us to protect ourselves and to remove these things from our life. This entity, whatever it was, I don't know what it was, but it wasn't as friendly as it could have been. The interaction I've had with spirits, and I believe it's happened to me a handful of times, in my opinion, has never been scary. I mean, it was a little weird. This entity that I saw standing over my wife in 1999, I believe it was. And then we hear banging of cups, and I would hear clanging on in the kitchen while I was in the shower. And I thought my wife was up early. And I would go in there, and there's nobody there. But I mean, it was boom, boom, boom. And I'm thinking, why is she making so much noise? And then when I talked to her, she didn't hear a thing. Which reminds me of the other story that I was going to tell. And this is one I think I've told before. But it's called The Pounding. Now this goes back to, oh, listen to me. I think I'm speaking like a ghost now. This goes back to when I was a child. And I was maybe 11, somewhere in there. My brother was maybe 12. Could be a year younger or a year older. And we lived in a small town, actually lived outside of town, a couple miles in Norway, Michigan. And that's about 50 miles from here, where I live now. And we were 2 miles outside of the town. And we lived in kind of like, almost looked like a subdivision area, but each person had a fair amount of property. We actually had about 9 acres. The part that we were on was fairly close to the highway. So it didn't appear like we were stuck way back in the woods. We were fairly close to the main highway. We had access real easy in and out of there. So almost residential, but still country living. We lived in an old barn. It was a barn that was converted into a house, my mom told us. And the initial shell of the barn was just this two-story, well, I guess three if you count the attic. And then they added onto this kitchen, which was on the east side of the barn. They added this one-story kitchen and bathroom. So in my bedroom and my parents' bedroom, you could look out the window and you could see the top of the kitchen. And when we were hellions, we would sneak out our bedroom window and walk around on that kitchen roof, especially if nobody's home. And we'd go jump off it just to see if we could do it, what it would be like. I wonder what that's like. And let's see if we can climb on the roof again and get back in. Of course, sometimes we got caught by our mom, and she wasn't too happy. She could definitely hear us climbing up there. She could definitely hear us walking around. It was an old house, and the kitchen was old as well. And so, facing east, my bedroom faced to the east and also faced to the north. My parents' bedroom was connected to mine. So, they faced to the east, and also they faced to the north. Mine faced towards the south. My brother's bedroom was connected to mine, but not to my parents. It was like diagonally across from my parents. He wasn't connected to the roof in any way. And this is where this, how the story begins. I'm downstairs watching TV with my mom and my dad. And you've heard me talk about my dad before, and I love him dearly, but he was a guy you just, I didn't want to say anything when he was around. When mom was there, we talked freely and openly. And that's what got me to believe in so many things, because she was very open-minded and always curious, always asking questions. So we'd actually have those conversations when he wasn't around. But if we would have asked, if I would have talked about those kind of things, he would have looked at me and said, "What you talking about?" And so, you know, I just felt so intimidated in his presence. I didn't say anything. And my brother felt the same way. My brother comes downstairs while I'm watching TV with mom and dad. And he kind of whispers to me to come over and talk to him, because he won't bring that up in front of dad. There's no way. And he says to me, "Did you hear that?" And I said, "What? What are you talking about?" "There was a loud pounding on the window of mom's bedroom." And I said, "What?" I didn't hear anything. And we should have been able to hear it. I mean, the TV wasn't blaring. Nobody was hard of hearing that I recall back then. And you could hear things pretty easy in that house. It was an old house. I mean, I can't count how many times I swore I heard somebody walking up the steps from downstairs, coming up into the hallway right outside my room. And I'll tell you what, I used to lay there as a kid at night, and I would pull those covers over my head, or the cat would be with me, and I'd pull him close to me and say, "Hang on, teddy bear." What a big chicken, huh? Well, it's different now. Now that I see things different, but it's like, you, as a kid, you either imagine that you heard these things or they actually happened. So this pounding noise, where does that come from? And what is that? And how come we didn't hear it down below? And why was it outside my parents' bedroom window? Now, we thought possibly this is kind of a remote area. I mean, there are houses around us, but you know everybody there. They're probably not going to go around pulling pranks, because if they got caught back then too, you'd get in some deep trouble with your parents, not like it is today. And if it was somebody that was from outside the area, how did they know how to get up there? They would have had to have a ladder, because we would have definitely heard them climbing up there. It definitely made a real... I could even hear the cat jumping on the roof when I was in the kitchen. He would jump on the roof and meow at us. So it wasn't like it was impossible to hear these things. It could have been someone, but I really doubt it, just because everything didn't add up. So what was this? It was this loud pounding on the window. And my brother, as I would have been, was probably too afraid to go look. He probably heard it, scared the crap out of him, waited till it was done, and then just quietly walked downstairs. So he came down as quickly as he could and probably was pretty scared. He didn't appear scared, but he had a strange look on his face. And I guess I never really asked him about that. I should, just to see what he has to say. Maybe he doesn't remember exactly, but I sure do. And you know, we couldn't talk in front of Dad, so he pulled me aside and we said all that stuff. So we went through our mind, and for years, it's this great mystery. And I think it was something supernatural, and so does my brother, and so does my mom. I think when we told her, we never told our dad, because I didn't want to hear it. Oh, that's a bunch of crap, or whatever he would have said, probably something a little bit more vulgar than that. So it took me a long time, and this is why I do this show. And you start to hear and learn things if you keep an open ear, a very open mind. It's so easy to think that you have all the answers or only want to tell your story and not listen to what others have to say. And that's what I run into. People gain a little bit of wisdom and they're dangerous because all of a sudden they know everything. And even my guests, some of my guests are like that. And those are usually the guests I don't have back on the show because... nobody, as far as I know, has all the answers. And if you start thinking that, then you close yourself off. So now I think I have an answer to what this is. And I have to thank Reverend Debbie, who's been on my show more than once. And she was telling me, we went over to Mindy. You've heard, I have Mindy on the show before. She's my coworker. She had something in her house. And there's an episode on one of my earlier shows where we went to her house and we investigated what she thought was spirits in the house. Her and her husband had been witnessing things. Debbie came to the conclusion when she looked out the bedroom window and saw these oak trees. It was a giant oak tree, actually. And she said, well, spirits hang around that. And sometimes they're not trying to be troublesome. They just pass through. They just pass through and they might be a little playful or mess with you a little bit or say hello. So, as I recall, you know, the reason that it made a lot of sense to me that this is what happened is right outside my parents' bedroom was in the back part of the house, facing to the north and to the east, overlooking the kitchen roof. And out their back window, facing to the north, were giant oak trees. I mean, literally. Very close to the house. So when Debbie said that these spirits are drawn to these oak trees, it made a lot of sense to me. Maybe that's what's going on. And maybe that's why we heard so many things in that house. And my brother, I remember as a kid, he would wake up, and he was on the top bunk when we shared the same room, and I was on the bottom. And we had one of those big mirrors on the dresser. And I really couldn't see it very well from my bunk bed. But more than once, he woke up and he looked in that mirror and he saw things. I don't know what they were, but they were strange, strange things that were coming out of the mirror or moving around in it, and it scared him. And he would cry and he'd say, what's that? What's that? What's that? And we were young enough then where Mom and Dad would come and I mean, Mom was always there, but Dad... But when he was younger, and we were younger, my brother got to go sleep with him. That's the great thing about it. He got to go sleep with him. Here I'm alone in this room, and I say, "What's going on, Mom?" I remember this. And she goes, "Oh, nothing, nothing. Go back to sleep, son. Go back to sleep." "Oh, okay. But what's wrong with Gary?" And she'd say, "Oh, it's just a nightmare." And was it? And then they left me in this room. But you know what? It's humorous. And what other way to look at it? My mom truly is a loving being, and she cared about us. And I wouldn't be the person I am today without her. And if you have any stories you want to share, I would love to hear them. And again, you can do it discreetly. You can send me an email, tj2@up.net. You can also comment if you want to share. I would love to hear it. I'd like to get something started on that and see how many people have ghost stories that they want to share. Because I got to believe, even if it's something just weird that happened to you and you're not sure, go ahead and share it. It may be nothing, but then again, it may be something. And maybe somebody else can give you a little piece to the puzzle as well, because maybe they've had a similar experience. And that's what I'm trying to do with this show, is to connect all of us, because we all are pieces to the puzzle, the way I see it. And I thank you for listening, and I hope you don't get too scared this Halloween. Why is it that they do that? Why do the spirits always do that? They always have that laugh. You notice that? Is that just to creep you out or what? Have a pleasant day.
Music on Out There, created by Kevin MacLeod.